Allah, guys, please, now we want to sorry, I thought you were we want to start, so take it easy a little bit. Barakallahu feek.
الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم أسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يرزقنا جميعا النية الخالصة الله يجعلنا من الفائزين يوم القيامة I ask Allah to grant us all sincerity and to make us safe on the day of judgment. في الدروس الماضية تكلمنا عن الوضوء والغسل والتيمم وبعض الأمور الأخرى. If you remember in the past classes we discussed the matters of wudu, ghusl, making tayammum and some other issues. إن كنتم تلاحظون أغلب ما تكلمنا عنه معدود من جملة شروط الصلاة أشياء هي شروط لصحة الصلاة If you notice, most of what we mentioned are considered conditions for the validity of the prayer Most of what we talked about بقي بعض الشروط التي ينبغي ذكرها. There are still some conditions that need to be mentioned. فالمصنف رحمه الله ذكرها في هذا الفصل. The author, may Allah have mercy on him, mentioned those conditions in this chapter which we are going to discuss inshallah. قال المؤلف فصل ومن شروط الصلاة استقبال القبلة The author said among the conditions of prayer are the first one to direct one's chest towards the Qibla فيشترط لصحة الصلاة استقبال الكعبة أي جرم الكعبة أي القدر القائم الآن من الكعبة القدر الموجود الآن من الكعبة يشترط استقباله بالصدر في الصلاة Among the conditions of the prayer is to face al-Qibla. Al-Qibla is al-Ka'bah. So one needs to face the structure of Ka'bah which exists nowadays with one's chest. هلا إذا كان الشخص على رأس جبل لا يشترط أن يوجه نفسه نزولا ليستقبل القدر القائم الآن من الكعبة، بل يكفي أن يتوجه إليها بحيث يقابل بصدره الهواء الذي فوقها. Now if one is on the top of a mountain, he does not have to direct himself, downwards to be, يعني, it is enough to direct himself towards the direction of Al-Kaaba in a way that he would be facing the air which is above Al-Kaaba. كذلك لو كان في بئر. Likewise, if one is in a well, مثلا محبوس كان محبوسا في بئر. For example, he was imprisoned in a well. لا يشترط أن يتوجه صعودا حتى يكون متوجها إلى الكعبة. It is not a condition for him to direct his chest upwards, so he would be facing Al-Kaaba. يكفي أن يتوجه إلى جهتها. It is enough for him to direct himself in the same direction of Al-Kaaba, مستقبلا الأرض التي تحتها, facing the ground which is underneath it. والمراد استقبال الكعبة بالصدر في حال القيام والقعود. What is meant by facing Al-Kaaba is to direct one's chest towards it while standing and sitting. وبمعظم البدن في الركوع والسجود. And to direct most of the body towards it while making ruku' or sujood. ثم إن كان الشخص يرى الكعبة فإنه يتوجه إليها بحسب الرؤية. Now if one sees الكعبة, one directs himself towards it. It's easy because he sees it. إن كان لا يراها فأخبره آخر يراها عن جهتها وكان هذا الآخر ثقة. هنا أيضا لا يجتهد بل يتوجه على حسب خبر هذا الثقة. If he does not see Al-Kaaba, but rather a trustworthy person tells him that he sees Al-Kaaba and that this is the direction. For example, someone is in a valley and another one on top of the mountain. So the one who's on top of the mountain sees Al-Kaaba. So he tells the other one that this is the direction, I see it. If he is a trustworthy person, the other one needs to follow him in that. He does not try to find the direction by himself to make ijtihad for that. إن كان لا يراها ولا يوجد من يخبره عن رؤية فعند ذلك يجتهد. If he does not see Al-Kaaba and there is no one to tell him, no one that sees Al-Kaaba to tell him how the direction is, then this person makes ijtihad to find the direction of Al-Kaaba. وأصل هذا الاجتهاد أن من كان شمال الكعبة اتجه إلى الجنوب، ومن كان جنوب الكعبة اتجه إلى الشمال، ومن كان شرق الكعبة اتجه إلى الغرب، ومن كان غرب الكعبة اتجه إلى الشرق. The base of this اجتهاد is that the one who is in east of Al-Kaaba needs to direct himself towards the west. The one who is west of Al-Kaaba needs to direct himself towards the east. The one who is north of Al-Kaaba needs to direct himself towards the south. The one who is south of Al-Kaaba needs to direct himself towards the north. فإن اجتهد اثنان واختلف اجتهادهما لم يتبع أحدهما اجتهاد الآخر. If two people make اجتهاد to determine how to face القبلة, the direction of Kaaba, and they come up to two different results, even if the difference is a little bit, someone his ijtihad is to face al-Kaaba this way, the other this way, so there is a slight difference between the two. In this case, no one among the two follows the other one. Each one prays according to his ijtihad. ومن كان قادرا على الاجتهاد في هذه الحال فليس له أن يترك الاجتهاد. The one who is able to make اجتهاد in this case is not entitled to leave out making اجتهاد. So he cannot overlook that and say, okay, I will go by the saying of this person, so and so. He is a trustworthy person. He made ijtihad. I will follow him. He is not entitled to do that. لا بد أن يجتهد. He has to make ijtihad. أما غير القادر على الاجتهاد كأعمى كان في حال لا يقدر فيها على الاجتهاد فهنا يأخذ باجتهاد غيره. Now the one who is not able to make ijtihad, like a blind person who is not able at a specific situation to make ijtihad, then he goes according to the ijtihad of another person who is able to make ijtihad. نعم لو كان مسجد من المساجد توالى عليه قرون مدة طويلة من المسلمين يدخلونه، ودخله العلماء على توالي الأزمان، ولم يعترض واحد منهم على قبلته، جاز لمن دخله أن يصلي على حسب ما نصبوا محراب المسجد في هذه الحال. There are a few exemptions. If there is a mosque established by the Muslims, and for years, many years, Muslims were praying in that mosque, and several scholars, they prayed in this mosque, and no one among them during all this long time, no one among the scholars objected to the mihrab of the masjid, of the mosque, then if one enters this mosque, it is permissible for him to pray according to this mihrab without making ijtihad. كذلك لو كان الشخص في بيت إنسان ثقة دين ثقة فأخبره أن القبلة من هنا جاز أن يأخذ بكلامه. Likewise, if the person is in the house of someone who is upright and trustworthy, and this man tells him that this is the direction of al-qibla, then it is permissible for one to follow that direction in the prayer. وَأَمَّا مِحْرَابُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَا أَحَدَ يَجْتَهِدُ فِيهِ. هناك لا مجال إلا للاتباع. As for the mihrab established by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the mihrab of the Prophet in his mosque in Al-Madinah, for example, this mihrab was established by the Prophet himself. In such a place, one does not make ijtihad. All what one does is follow what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام established, because that was by the revelation. So there is no place for ijtihad there. One needs to follow the direction determined by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال المؤلف ودخول وقت الصلاة. The author said the setting in of the prayer time. شرح ذلك أن من شرط الصلاة معرفة دخول وقتها على اليقين على القطع أو على الظن بالاجتهاد. The explanation for one to be able to be for one's prayer to be valid, one has to know whether to know in a definite way or most likely based on ijtihad that the time of the prayer is in. إذا كان الشخص يرى الأفق الغربي في مكان يرى منه الأفق الغربي فغابت الشمس رأى الشمس غربت, هنا له أن يصلي المغرب لأنه اعتمد على إيش؟ على رؤية, فعرف غروب الشمس يقينا قطعا. If someone can see the western horizon and he sees with his eyes that the sun set, then after the sun set he prays al-Maghrib, because now he knows for sure that the Maghrib is in, he saw the sunset. فإن كان لا يستطيع التيقن, if he was not able to know for sure that the time is in, فإنه يجتهد, he makes اجتهاد. فإن غلب على ظنه دخول الوقت صلى باجتهاده ذاك. If he thinks that most likely the time is in, then he prays based on that اجتهاد. كما لو كان غيم ولا يستطيع أن يرى غياب الشمس. Like if there were clouds and he could not see the sunset. عندها يجتهد ويصلي على حسب المغرب على حسب اجتهاده. Then one makes اجتهاد and prays المغرب according to his اجتهاد. كذلك لو كان مثل هنا يوجد أبنية تمنعه من رؤية الغروب, Also, like here, when we are inside the buildings in the city, usually there are other buildings that prevent us from seeing the western horizon. In this case, one depends on his ijtihad to determine that al-Maghrib is in. The western and the eastern horizon. Then one depends on his ijtihad to know that al-Maghrib is in, or to determine that al-Maghrib is in. وَلَوْ رَاقَبَ شَخْصٌ ثِقَةَ الْأَوْقَاتِ فَاعْتَمَدْتَ عَلَى مُرَاقَبَتِهِ جَاز. If someone trustworthy watches, you remember how we discussed how the Dhuhr is in, the Asr is in, etc. So if someone trustworthy watches when each prayer starts, and then he tells you, for example, that during this month, al-Dhuhr is always after, let's say, I don't know. It's always between 12 and 12:15, for example. Then it is permissible for you to rely on his observation in this case. لكن الأفضل أن يرى الشخص بنفسه. But it is better for one to check himself, to observe himself, the signs on which one relies to determine that the time is in, the time of the prayer is in. ولو أذن ثقة كفى الاعتماد على أذانه. Likewise, if someone trustworthy makes the adhan, it is permissible to rely on his adhan to pray. Someone trustworthy, not like nowadays, in most of the people who make al-adhan nowadays are not trustworthy. Most of them, they do not have enough knowledge, they do not know how the time is in, and then they make adhan, I don't know how, relying on what. Maybe relying on a piece of paper that they get from a newspaper. Yeah, some of them they rely on a newspaper, yeah. Or a piece of paper that they get from some department in a government. No one knows who printed it. And is the person who printed it a trustworthy person or not? Just, they go like that, most of them. I think I will not say everyone among you. But many among you, they heard the adhan called out from some people before the time is in. In some areas, in some mosques. But if the person is knowledgeable and trustworthy, and he makes the adhan, you can rely on that. And pray according to his adhan. فإن صلى الشخص من غير الاعتماد على شيء معتبر في الشرع أن الوقت على شيء معتبر في الشرع لدخول الوقت فصلاته غير صحيحة ولو وافقت الوقت. If one prays without relying on something which is reliable to determine the beginning of the time according to the rules of the religion, he prays without relying on anything like that, his prayer is invalid. Even if his prayer takes place within the time, even, it is invalid. Don't you see people in Ramadan, when they hear the Adhan, they eat immediately? The Adhan of who? They don't know. Based on what? They don't know. Is the sun down or not? They don't know. They don't know. They just hear the Adhan, so they eat. Many times, I remember now, at least twice, I heard the Adhan twice in the radio from some radio stations, and the sun, I was still, yani the sun was above the horizon. Yani more than 10 minutes before the sunset. And the third time from a mosque, while I could still see the sun. قال المؤلف والإسلام. The author said to be a Muslim, to be Muslim. فمن شروط صحة الصلاة أن يكون المصلي مسلما لأن الكافر لا تصح صلاته. Among the conditions of the validity of the prayers is for the one who's praying to be a Muslim. A non-Muslim, the prayer of a non-Muslim is invalid. والتمييز وهو أن يكون الولد بلغ من السن إلى حيث يفهم الخطاب ويرد الجواب. To be at the age of mental discrimination, that is the age at which the child understands when addressed and answers when asked. كذلك غير المميز لا تصح صلاته. المجنون لا تصح صلاته. The explanation, the one who is not in the state of mental discrimination, his prayer is invalid. The crazy person's prayer, is invalid. Ibn Sana wa Sanatayn, salatu ghayru sahiha, li'annahu ghayru mumayyiz. Likewise, the prayer of 1-year-old and 2-year-old child is invalid, because he is not at the age of mental discrimination. المقصود بالتمييز أن يصير في سن في حال يفهم فيها ما يقال له ويجيب لو سئل عن فهم. إذا كان هذا حاله فهذا صار في سن التمييز. وليس لهذا عمر معين، يعني قد يحصل في السادسة، في السابعة، في الثامنة، في الخامسة، ليس له سن معين. What we mean by the mental discrimination is for the child to become at a stage, if the child is asked, he understands the question and he answers properly based on understanding. When the child reaches this state, then he would be at the state of mental discrimination. This might happen at the age of 5, 6, or 7, or 8. There is not a specific age for that to happen. Once the child is at that age, then he can pray, he or she can pray. قال المؤلف والعلم بفرضيتها. The author said to deem the obligatory prayer as obligatory. يعني أنه يشترط لصحة الصلاة أن يعلم أنها فرض، أن يعلم أن هذه الصلاة فرض. فلو كان يتردد هل هي فرض أم لا لكونه حديث عهد بإسلام فصلاها لم تصح منه، كصلاة كلامنا عن صلاة الظهر أو العصر وما شابه. If one is a new Muslim, so because of that he hesitates, is the Dhuhr prayer obligatory or not? But despite this hesitation, this person prays a Dhuhr. Such a prayer is invalid because he is praying an obligatory prayer without deeming it obligatory. So it is a condition for the prayer to be valid that one deems obligatory the obligatory one. If one hesitates about that or does not do that, then his prayer is invalid. قال المؤلف وأن لا يعتقد فرضا من فروضها سنة. The author said not to deem any of the integrals of the prayer recommended, that is sunnah. شرح ذلك أن من شروط الصلاة أن لا يعتقد فرضا من فروضها ركنا من أركانها سنة. Among the conditions of the prayer is not to deem any integral among the integrals of as-salah as a recommended matter, not obligatory matter, sunnah matter. فإذا صلى وهو يعتقد مثلا أن التشهد الأخير سنة وليس فرضا، لو أتى به لم تصح صلاته. So if someone prays while deeming the last tashahud in the prayer at the end of the prayer to be sunnah, not an obligation, even if one does it in the prayer, his prayer is invalid because when he does it he is doing it while thinking that this is not an obligation, and truly it is an obligation. So he needs not to deem any obligatory matter in the prayer as not obligatory, as recommended. أما لو لم يخطر لو لم يعتقد فرضا من فروضها السنة إنما اعتقد أن الصلاة فيها سنن وفيها فروض من غير أن يحكم على فرض بعينه أنه سنة، فهنا صحت صلاته. Now, if someone is, let's say he's a new Muslim, he did not learn yet what are the integrals of the prayer and what are the recommended matters. So he knows in general that the prayer has integrals and recommended matters. He does not deem any integral to be not an obligation, to be recommended. He does not do that. But he does not think what are the integrals of the prayer and what are the sunnahs. He does not think that those are the integrals and those are the sunnahs. He does not differentiate. He does not think about that. All what he knows that in the prayer there are obligatory matters and recommended matters, and then he prays and he does all the obligatory matters when he prays, then his prayer is valid. He is falling short for not learning, but his prayer is valid. He is sinful for not learning, but his prayer is valid. Because he did not deem a specific integral to be sunnah. If he does that, then his prayer is not valid. أما لو اعتقد سنة من السنن فرضا فتصح الصلاة. Now such person, if he believes that one of the recommended matters, the sunnah matters, is an integral, this does not invalidate his prayer. Because still, he does not deem any integral to be sunnah. قال المؤلف والستر بما يستر لون البشرة لجميع بدن الحرة إلا الوجه والكفين وبما يستر ما بين السرة والركبة للذكر والأمة من كل الجوانب لا الأسفل. The author said to cover the whole body of the free woman with the exception of her face and hands. That is, to conceal the skin and hair and their colors, to cover the area between the navel and the knees of the male and of the female slave from all sides except from underneath. يعني أنه يشترط لصحة الصلاة ستر العورة. Among the conditions of the validity of the prayer is to cover the unlawful nakedness. To cover the unlawful nakedness, to cover العورة. والعورة تختلف ما بين الرجل والمرأة. There is a difference between the unlawful nakedness. There is a difference between the unlawful nakedness of the man and the woman. عورة الرجل ما بين سرته وركبته. The unlawful nakedness of the man is what is between his navel and his knees. السرة نفسها ليست عورة. والركبة نفسها ليست عورة. The navel itself is not عورة. The knee itself is not عورة. لكن لابد أن يستر الشخص شيئا من السرة وشيئا من الركبة حتى يتأكد أنه ستر ما بينهما. But one has to cover at least a little part of the navel and a little part of the knee to be sure that he covered what is between the navel and the knee. فيشترط ستر ذلك من كل الجوانب إلا من الأسفل فلا يشترط. It is a condition to conceal this area from all the directions except from underneath. يعني لو لبس شخص إزارا فستر ما بين السرة والركبة لكن لو نظر إنسان من تحت لرأى فخذه مثلا فهذا لا يؤثر لأنه لا يشترط الستر من تحت أيضا. Which means if someone puts wraps an izar, something around his hip, in a way that it covers what's between the navel and the knees. But if someone looks from underneath, he can see his thigh, for example. In this case, this is enough for him to pray. because it is not a condition to cover from underneath also. عورة الأمة كعورة الرجل. عورة الأمة في الصلاة كعورة الرجل. The unlawful nakedness for the female slave in the prayer is like the unlawful nakedness of the man. فلا يجب عليها ستر رأسها أو كتفيها أو صدرها في الصلاة أو ظهرها. لا يجب ذلك. So it is not a condition for her when she wants to pray to cover her head, her shoulders, her hands, her arms, her legs. It is not a condition. لأن الأمة تكون مشغولة بالخدمة فلذلك خفف عنها. Because usually she is doing certain tasks. So her owners, they ask her to do tasks. And this is why in the rules of the religion it is made easier for her. She does not have to cover when she wants to pray what the free woman has to cover. أما الحرة فعورتها كل البدن إلا الوجه والكفين. As for the free female, her unlawful nakedness is the whole body, her whole body except her face and her hands. يعني أن القدمين عورة في مذهب الشافعي. Which means, according to the Shafi'i school, the feet are among the unlawful nakedness. فَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَسْتُرَهُمَا عِنْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. So she has to cover her feet when she prays. وَالرَّقَبَ إِذًا عَوْرَةٌ. This means also that the neck is an unlawful nakedness. فيجوز لها أن تكشف وجهها يعني من منبت الشعر طولا إلى أسفل الذقن ومن الأذن إلى الأذن. أما الرقبة فتحت أسفل الذقن فلا يجوز لها كشفها. It is permissible for her to uncover her face, which means from the hairline to the chin. To the chin and from the ear to the ear. The neck is underneath the chin. She is not entitled to uncover it. So when she prays and even when she goes out, she needs to take care to cover her neck. ثم هذا الستر من كل الجوانب لا من الأسفل أيضا كالرجل. And this, when we say to cover all her body, we mean from all the directions except from underneath. فلو كانت تلبس درعا طويلا ثوبا طويلا يستر قدميها يصل إلى الأرض، لكن لو وقفت على مكان مرتفع مثلا وواحد نظر من تحت لرأى ساقها، مع أن الثوب يصل إلى الأرض يعني يستر، هذا يكفي، لا يشترط الستر من أسفل. This means if she is wearing a long dress, it touches the ground, يعني. So her feet does not show, etc. But if she stands on something which is high, let's say, for, and someone looks from underneath, he might see her leg or so. This is enough for her. That is, she can pray like that. معنى هذا أنها لا يشترط أن تلبس جوربا أو سراويل تحت هذا, which means it is not an obligation for her to wear socks or pants underneath the dress to pray. لكن لو لبست ثوبا إلى منتصف الساق ولبست جوربا إلى الركبة فلو نظر الواحد منا لا يرى شيئا من بدنها, لكن لو أن الشخص اقترب, لو أن أحدا اقترب إلى مستوى, نظر إلى مستوى ثوبها لرأى من عورتها شيئا, فهذا لا يكفي لصلاتها. لابد أن يكون الثوب, باختصار لابد أن يكون الثوب واصلا إلى الأرض, أو لابد أن يكون الجورب على هيئة أخرى. So if a woman wears a dress that does not reach the ground, then, okay, I'll repeat. If a woman wears a dress that does not reach the ground, and wears underneath it socks that reach the knees, the dress, let's say, reaches the half of the leg, and underneath it she wears socks that reach the knees, it is not valid for her to pray while wearing only that dress. Why? Because, how do I say it? It does not cover from all the directions, except from underneath. It does not cover from all the directions, except from underneath. If she wears a dress that reaches the half of the middle of the leg, and she wants to pray, either she wears on top of this something that reaches the ground, or she wears underneath that, let's say, tight pants with tight ends, and on top of them socks. So, and then she can pray with that dress. Because the way she is dressing, if she does not do that, the way she is dressing, someone can see her aura without going underneath her. From the level of half of her thigh, of her leg, he can still see her aura. This is not enough. So she is not covering from all directions except from underneath. I hope this is clear. لكن بعض الأئمة خفف في هذه المسألة فقال قدم المرأة ليس بعورة. Some imams made it easier. Their ijtihad is easier in this issue. So they said the foot of the woman is not a awra. So she can pray uncovering her foot. هذا قول أبي حنيفة رضي الله عنه. This is the saying of Imam Abi Hanifa. May Allah raise his rank. طيب إلى هنا أحد عنده سؤال. Up till here, do you have any questions? Is that no? The last point. If the woman is dressed with a dress that reaches the half of her leg, so even if she wears socks underneath it that are not like pants, so that reach only to the knees, let's say. In this case, if she wants to pray, someone can see her awra without going underneath her. So from the level of half of her leg, he can still see her awra, isn't it? Then she is not covering from all the directions except from underneath. She needs to do either, or in this case, for her prayer to be valid, she needs either to wear on top of that a dress that reaches the ground, or underneath that, thick socks that conceal the color of the skin that are like pants. I don't know what they call them. Whatever. So, did you get it? So if someone looks from that level, he would not see anything from her awra. Okay? All the way up. Correct. Or pants with socks with tight ends. Pants with tight ends. So they would be with the socks so the awra wouldn't appear.
Sure.
Well, one moment. So, يعني when we say underneath means underneath the area that has to be covered, which is in the case of the woman what? Her feet. In the case of the man, his knees. That's what it means. Okay, go ahead. The man?
Yes, like, is there different rulings as to the man having to be covered from his navel to his knees?
You mean according to other imams?
Yes.
Yeah, according to Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, he needs to cover from his navel up to and including the knees. The knees, according to the school of Abu Hanifa, are themselves awra also. I was thinking about something. I remembered what I wanted to say. Some men, they do not pay attention to this. Not just women, also some men, They do not pay attention to this ruling. I'll give you an example. A man would be wearing a jalabiya. What do they call it here? Jalabiya. Okay. With an opening here. Okay? It's opened here. So he's covering al-awra. He starts praying. And then when he makes a ruku', the jalabiya is no more sticking to his body. It gets like this away from the body. And if anyone looks from here, he could see his awra, his thigh, for example. In this case, his prayer is invalidated. So he needs to take care of that. Either he buttons it, he uses, I don't know, he puts here a rope, something. So he needs to take care of that. So one needs to observe this rule when he prays, whether a male or a female. No.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You said on the Imam Hanifa,
Abu Hanifa,
may Allah raise his rank.
Amen.
He stated that the foot of the woman is not outer.
Yes.
Okay.
So he said the face, the hands, and the feet.
So what point does their prayer become?
To the ankles.
To the ankle. Is it any other part B? Question number two, mashallah. Is there any other method that states that a woman's ear being, you know, seen is...
Me? No.
Is okay? Mashallah. That's all I need.
No. No, some imams had different opinions if the woman was praying and then something was uncovered involuntarily, etc. But no one said it is okay for the woman to uncover her hair. No. You are most welcome. Yeah. About
a blind person who is unable to make ijtihad. In that category, can a person who is not knowledgeable because of his laziness also...
Is that what?
The person who is not knowledgeable because he is lazy to...
No. The one who is not knowledgeable... Okay, there are two cases in this case. Someone who can acquire the knowledge, but he does not because he is lazy, he wants to work and get money first, for one reason or another. He can acquire the knowledge, but he does not do that. He does not go to acquire it. He just ignores acquiring it. In this case, his prayer, he is not excused to follow the ijtihad of someone else. And there is someone who is unable to learn. Then this person might follow the ijtihad of another one. Okay? Wafiq. Yes, Ali.
What about the child?
So most of the people who surround you, Fawzi, most of the people who surround you, if they don't know, this is because they are lazy, not because they are unable to know, to learn.
What about the child who is mumayyiz, but maybe he doesn't understand the concept of determining the direction of the Qibla?
Then he is not mumayyiz.
But
if he cannot understand the concept of determining al-Qibla, then he is not in the state of mental discrimination. Or the one who is explaining to him is not explaining in the proper way. But no, he can. If he is mumayyiz, he can. Yeah, go ahead, Shay. Go.
You don't know if there's any trustworthy, reliable Muslims.
It's easy. You go to a new country, you ask, where is this country in reference to Al-Kaaba? Is it to the north, to the south, to the east, or to the west? It's not difficult. You ask the people, how is the position of this country compared to Al-Kaaba? And then you make your ijtihad. It's not a big issue. It's an easy thing. Our religion has easy rules. Easy rules. Tafaddal Muhammad.
لغروب الشمس نحن ننظر إلى الجبال في المشرق وإذا غاب ضوء الشمس من فوق
رؤوس الجبال
نحكم بغروب الشمس.
صحيح، كلام سليم.
في بلادنا مثلا يوجد بناء
عالي،
هل يجوز أن ننظر إلى فوق
بناء؟ أصبت. هذا مثل الجبل.
مثل الجبل.
أصبت.
ونعتبر أطول البناء في الجوار.
هكذا، إذا كان طويلا بحيث لا يحجبه غيره، لا يحجبه شيء آخر في الأفق. أصبت. If there is a tall building in the area, you can consider it like the top of the mountain for the time of Maghrib. Do you remember when we said, if you don't see the western horizon, you check the top of the mountains? If you have a tall building, which there's nothing that prevents, that blocks it from the western horizon, then you can consider this tall building like the mountain. And if the shining of the sunrise disappears from the tip of that building, then you say that the sun has set. Yes, تفضل يا مولاي.
بالنسبة للاثنين اللي اختلفوا بالاتجاه القبلة
بالاجتهاد
بيقدروا يصلوا جماعة؟
لا،
كل واحد يصلي لحاله.
لا، بيصلوا جماعة مع من يوافقهم في الاجتهاد،
بس إذا
بس
كانوا
إنه مش مع بعضهم.
أيوة. طيب، واللي عرف بعدين إنه كان غلطان بيرجع بعيد الصلاة إذا عرف؟
لحظة، هي مسألة تانية، خليني ترجمها. If two people have two different اجتهاد pertaining to القبلة, so each one prays in a different direction, they cannot pray in congregation together. How do they pray in congregation? Because one is directing himself like this and the other is like this. So they cannot. Each one prays in congregation with the one that has the same ijtihad as himself. شو سؤالتني؟ ايه؟ الاتجاه الأول بالاجتهاد والثاني بالاجتهاد، يعني ظن الخطأ، ظن من متيقن، يظن أنه كان مخطئا ويظن أنه الآن مصيب. ما هو يعني يظن، ما هو هلأ منه متيقن، هلأ منه عم بيشوف الكعبة ولا هناك من يراها يدله، هو يظن الآن أن هذا هو الصواب، ما هيك؟ ليس عليه أن يعيد. If one prays according to a valid ijtihad and then later his ijtihad changes, he does not have to repeat what he prayed before. Because still it is based on ijtihad. Yalla lahza. If a woman wears a dress that comes to the bottom of her feet, with socks, but if she is in ruku', it lifts up a little, but someone cannot be able to see underneath it. Is this valid? If a woman wears a dress that reaches the ground, but when she makes ruku', the dress lifts a little bit, so it does not touch the ground anymore. If she is not wearing long socks up till here, as we mentioned before, if she is wearing socks up to the knees, for example, and then nothing to cover from there, to the, nothing up over the above that to cover the thigh, then her prayer is invalidated by this. So she needs to be covered in the way that we described, even when she makes ruku'. This is why the scholars said it is okay for the woman that her dress would be drags a little bit on the floor. So when she makes ruku', it does not uncover anything. According to Abu Hanifa, the woman can show her feet up to the ankles. Okay. I'll answer later to this question. If the woman is praying with tight clothes, does the prayer still have reward? This is disliked. If she prays with tight clothes, this is disliked. For men and women, both. For women it is disliked. For men it is better not to do that. It is better not to do that. Although it is less than disliked, but it is better not to do that. عند أبي حنيفة إذا كشفت المرأة عن قدميها في الصلاة هل تحتاج أن تلبس سروالا ضيقا تحت الثياب؟ لا. عند أبي حنيفة إذا انكشفت القدم في الصلاة لا يؤثر. According to Abu Hanifa, if the foot is uncovered during the prayer, this does not affect the prayer. الله تعالى قال قل للمؤمنات يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن. ليس معنى هذه الآية أن لبس الجلباب فرض. ما أحد من العلماء قال لبس الجلباب فرض. إنما هذه الآية الله تبارك وتعالى أنزلها لبيان وجوب ستر الرأس والعنق وغير ذلك وأجزاء أخرى من بدن المرأة. وليس معنى هذا أن لبس الجلباب بعينه واجب. الجلباب، عرفتم الجلباب؟ هو مثل هذه العباءة، مثل العباءة التي توضع على الرأس من المرأة فتستر الجسد شو بيسموه؟ شادور بعضهم يسميه. لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في بعض الأحاديث بيّن أنه يكفي لستر المرأة درع وخمار، فدل هذا على أن لبس الجلباب ليس فرضا. This verse, قل للمؤمنات يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن, was revealed to show that it is an obligation to cover the neck, the head of the woman and the like. It does not mean that it is an obligation for the woman to wear al-jilbab. Al-jilbab is like, what do they call it in English? Do you know what's al-jilbab?
An overgarment?
Which overgarment? Okay, I will tell you. Do you know how the Iranian woman dress? What do they put on their heads and this long thing? It's like that. That's al-jilbab. So it does not mean that this is an obligation on the woman to wear that. Well, it is better for her to wear that over her clothes. But it does not mean that this is an obligation to wear specifically this type of clothes. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in some hadith mentioned that it is enough for the woman to wear a long dress and something that covers her head and her neck. If someone built a mosque with haram money, Ya Latif, can you still pray in? And does that person who built the mosque get any reward? Ya Latif. Now, if someone buys stones and things to build the mosque with haram money, with money that really he does not own, that are owned by other people, money that he stole from other people, then he does not own what he buys. If he buys with haram money those things to build the mosque, then he is committing a sin. He is not getting reward by that. Now sometimes, the person buys without, yani, the person goes to one who sells the khalas, please. The person goes to the one who sells the material to build the mosque or the like, and he does not tell him, I buy those, for example, those stones from you, those bricks from you for this money. Rather, he says, I buy those bricks from you for $1,000. And that one accepts. Then later, or maybe at the same spot, he gives him $1,000. In this case, the contract is valid. He owns the bricks. The money which is haram that he gave to that person, by giving the haram money to that person, he commit a sin. But he already owned the bricks. So the bricks are his now. Because he did not say, I now buy those bricks from you for this money, which is haram. If he says that, then it is not valid. But if he says, I now buy those bricks from you for $1,000, then he is not specifying the $1,000. In this case, the bricks become his. Giving the haram money to that person is haram, is an extra sin. He needs to go back to him and tell him, this money that I gave to you is haram. Its owner is so and so. Give it to him and to give him halal money as the price of the bricks. Or maybe that person would tell him, I don't want money from you. You are a person that is repenting, who wants to repent. I don't want money from you. I'll give the money back to that. He might do that. If not, he needs to pay him from halal money. This is how he does it. In this case, he owns the bricks. So if he uses them later, it is lawful for him to use them in building a mosque, a house, or something else. But if he buys with the haram money, so if he says, I buy this from you for this money, then he does not own that thing. He does not own it.
Sheikh Samir.
Go ahead. I'll get to you later. Yeah, one moment. Let the brother finish. Yes, it includes that. Yeah, go ahead.
Some of us aren't really understanding the issue with the woman covering her awra. If she wears a dress and she has, for example, socks underneath. So if it doesn't touch the ground and she has socks or stockings or something under it, then she has to wear something over it that touches the ground.
For example,
or something under it that completely covers what's underneath. What are the conditions or criteria to, like, for example, does that relate to the pants?
What are the conditions or criteria of what?
In determining whether she has to put something over it or put something underneath it, or
it doesn't. She has the choice.
No, not whether she can pray like that or not. So does that relate to if she's wearing pants with knee socks, or is it that the garment has to touch the ground? I understand the judgment that you gave.
Okay,
if there are other cases that seem similar, are there certain criteria
similar cases?
Like if someone has pants on with socks under it.
If someone has?
Pants.
Yeah.
With socks under them.
Okay.
How would she judge if she can pray like that or not?
Okay. If the pants have wide ends, then they are not enough. If the pants have tight ends, so they stick to the elastic, for example, end. It doesn't need to be elastic, but for example, elastic. So it sticks to the leg. And underneath that, she wears socks that cover the rest, the foot, her foot, for example. In this case, this would be enough.
Okay, so someone might ask, if she has pants on that don't touch the ground, and then she has socks underneath that say come to her knee, someone might think that you can't see her awra unless you're completely under her.
If she has pants?
If she has pants and then, like, socks that don't come.
Pants with wide ends?
With wide openings.
Okay.
And then she has socks that don't come completely up.
Okay.
Someone might think that you can't see her awra unless you're completely underneath her.
The pants go to where? touch the ground?
To her ankle, they don't touch the ground.
Then how is it? No.
No, that's what I'm asking you. Like, you think...
No, this is not enough.
It's not enough.
No. This is not enough.
Okay. I get that, but...
Why? Because that one can see her awra without going underneath her feet.
I don't get that part.
He doesn't need to go underneath the feet. Think about it a little bit. We'll talk later about
okay.
it.
Okay, all right.
Rafiki. We'll talk later, inshallah, about it. MashaAllah. أي ما فهمت هاي المسألة برجع إلا بعدين تفسر لي كتبتها بين العامية والفصحى. I think it's almost 5, so I'll try to answer those questions and stop so we can pray. Allah yubarak fikum. Can the... What's this, Hajj?
Can the redness in the sky...
Can the redness in the sky be used as a sign for the setting in of Maghrib if the city where it is difficult to see the sunset, is it valid for those to use the redness as a sign to pray Maghrib? Does the sky become red even when the disk of the sun has not gone completely beyond the horizon? Yes, yes, you cannot rely on the redness in the western horizon because the horizon becomes red before the sun sets. So you cannot rely on that to determine the Maghrib time, the beginning of Maghrib time. If a person prays, what's this?
Salat.
If a person prays Salat towards the Qibla, then, for example, in the second rak'ah changes his direction slightly, has he made his salat invalid? So if a person was praying and then he changes his direction in the second rak'ah, this is either because he thinks that, either because his ijtihad changes, and then he changes because of that his direction, and in this case his prayer is still valid, or because something else. If he notices that he changed his direction, then he repeats the prayer from the beginning, even if it is a little bit. If he notices that he changed his direction, he repeats the prayer. Except if he does that because his ijtihad changes. So at the beginning his ijtihad is like this. While he was praying, he made another ijtihad, and it became like this. So he changed a little bit to be in the new ijtihad. That's okay. But if it's not for that, he needs to repeat the prayer. According to, I think this is Imam Abu Hanifa, can the foot be uncovered? Yes. Yes. If the saliva of the dog
touches the skin now, that's one.
If the saliva of the dog touches the skin, one washes that area 7 times with water, And one of the seven washes has to be mixed with soil in a way that the soil changes the water. One of the seven times. The first one is better. How do a person know the direction of the Kaaba? Okay. The person checks his situation. Where am I compared to Al-Kaaba? Am I to the north, to the south, to the east, or to the west? And then he takes the opposite direction to direct himself towards Al-Kaaba. If a dog licks a person and they have to wash to wash seven times. Okay, what kind of soil can they use? Any soil that can be mixed with water. They can use any soil that is mixed with water, that mixes with water, dissolves in the water. Can it be the same soil to make tayammum? Well, it's okay. I will not answer this question now. Do they have to have an intention? No, there shouldn't. It is not necessary to have an intention. Removing a najasa does not need an intention for it to be done. هذا جوابنا عليه. If a part of the woman's baby shows during prayer by accident, woman's body. Yeah, well, it should be a D. It's a B.
It's body.
Okay. If someone is praying and without his intention, يعني, not because of his movement, not because of his actions, his unlawful nakedness gets uncovered. In this case, if this person immediately covers it, he can continue the prayer. So for example, if a woman is praying and there is the wind lifts the cover of her head, if she immediately puts it back, she can continue her prayer. If she lifts it and then put it back, then her prayer is invalidated. Or if the wind uncovers it and she leaves it until after 1 minute, then she recovers it. In this case, her prayer is invalidated. The second question, what does invalidate at-tayammum? This needs next class, inshallah. If there is no water in a place, and the najas fills, there is a najas fills, and the person wants to pray, what does he do? If a person has a najas fills on his body, there is no water, he wants to pray. What he does is, he tries to make the najas fills as thinner as he can, because there is no water to clean the area, to make it. So what he does, he takes out the najas fills as much as he can. He makes it thinner, he minimized it as much as he can, and he makes a tayammum. If the person has a dog's najasa and cannot find soil. What can this person do? Search for soil. Because this cannot be purified except by washing it seven times. One of them mixed with soil. Oh, this is the same question. The invalidators of tayammum. Remind me tomorrow, inshallah, we discuss them. I forgot to talk about them. Inshallah, we will talk about them tomorrow. And inshallah, we will answer those questions tomorrow. Barakallahu feekum. Let me tell you something. Tomorrow, I am determined to give you a short quiz. So review what you already took. Allah yubarak feekum. خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله بكم.